Holy Spirit, take these words to speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mrs. Smart came to church one Sunday and she was fiddling through her purse trying to get her offering if she was going to give that day, and out of her purse popped a giant TV remote control, and it clanked onto the ground, and the usher came down the aisle and picked it up and handed it to her and said, "Do you always carry around a TV remote control with you all the time in your purse?" And she said, "No, but my husband refused to come to church with me today, and so this is the only way I could think to the most evil thing I could think to do to him without going to jail." Well, I hope you didn't do anything evil that brought you to church today. But certainly, as we come to church, this is a special Sunday for us as we celebrate our annual meeting. And it's an opportunity for us to focus on us as a church. And that's what I kind of want to do this morning. Instead of focusing on the readings that we have for our Sunday service, I want to focus on what is the church? What does the word church mean? What does it mean to be the church? What is church all about? And certainly, church is a place where you come sometimes and it's okay for us to have fun and to laugh a little bit. And some of you may have come across some bulletin bloopers. Now, we don't ever have bulletin bloopers in our bulletin because our secretary is so efficient and good. And we have Martha proofreading it every Sunday. So most of the time we're doing pretty good in terms of bloopers. But you may have come across some of these bloopers in reading things on the Internet. One bulletin had this: due to the rector's illness, Wednesday's healing services will be discontinued until further notice. Next Sunday, Mrs. Vinson will be the soloist for the morning service. The pastor will then speak on "It's a Terrible Experience." Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Nelson's sermons. You're laughing a little too hard at that one. During the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon when J.F. Stubbs supplied our pulpit. Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement on Friday at 7 p.m. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. I like this one. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Let us join David and Lisa in their celebration of their wedding and bring their happiness to a conclusion. The low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. Miss Charlene Mason saying, "I will not pass this way again," giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. Please use large double doors at the side entrance. And this is a good one. Potluck supper will be held today. Prayer and medication will follow. Well, I assure you, I do have some medication for our potluck to follow this morning, and so hopefully nobody will need that. But I think it's okay to laugh in the church every once in a while, don't you? I've listed a number of scriptures that I want to focus on today in your bulletin. It's in the insert marked the church. And so if you'll get that out, I want to reflect on what Scripture has to say related to the church. Now, this isn't everything that the Scripture has to say regarding the church, but really I'm going to focus on some things that I think are really important for us as a church to really grasp and to understand and begin to practice. And I want to share with you a quote that you'll find in that sheet. It was by an Archbishop of Canterbury named William Temple back in 1897. And he wrote this. You may never have heard this related to the church, but he said, "The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members." Have you ever thought about that? The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. Why did he say that? Well, look down at the first quotation from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so if the church is really the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members, then that would mean that we as its members would need to go out and seek those who are not members and bring them in to the fellowship of the church. The main purpose of the church, outside of following Jesus, really is to reach out and bring those who do not know Christ to Him, and then incorporate them into the life of the church. The church is not to be a holy huddle. It's not to be a closed society. It's not some sort of fraternity or sorority. It came to seek, and we are to seek and save the lost, and to bring them into the fellowship of the church. So that's the main purpose of the church, is to go out and seek to bring others who are not a part of the church into the church. But here are some other things that I think that are important related to the church. First of all, the church should be loving. One of the things that the early Christians did was to really practice this idea of loving one another in a way that was obvious to those who are not its members, those who are outside of the church. So much so that some secular historian wrote, "See how they love one another," as if this was some sort of unusual thing. So the church in the early church was known for their love for one another. And I think that that's a great quality for any church to try to embrace, and that is to be as loving of a church as you can be. And certainly Jesus said this in John chapter 13, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So if we're to make disciples of all nations, those disciples will be known by their love for Jesus Christ. They will be known for their love for one another as well. And so as we seek to make disciples, we are to make disciples that become the most loving people that they can be. So the church should be a loving place. The church is also not a location. If you'll look at Romans chapter 16, "Greet also the church that meets at their homes." We say we come to church on Sundays, but actually we're coming to meet with the church in a certain building. We can say we come to a church building, but actually we're meeting with the church because the church is the people of God. You and I are the church of God. The church really is the body of Christ. And so we are part of the church. We are part of a body that meets together. And so as we gather together as a church, the church is not just a location. The church is the people of God. Next, the church is to show hospitality. Look at Romans chapter 16. "Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings." Now, we know that there are people in our church that have a gift of hospitality. Many of you can probably point to those people. But all of us are called to practice hospitality. Hospitality to those who come to visit us as in our church services, though practicing hospitality to those with whom we come in contact out in the world, doing all we can to be as hospitable to those around us as possible. And as we do that, that begins to break down some of the barriers, some of the walls that people put up against church people and against the church itself. So it's important for us to seek to practice hospitality as much as we can. Another thing about the church is that it's not just another service organization. We are called as a church to serve people in the world, in our community, serve people that come to us and those sorts of things. But we're not primarily a service organization. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "The church of God, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." So the church is not an organization like the Lions Club or the Rotary or the Kiwanis. The church really is something much more than simply an organization like that. The church is made up of people who are dedicated to, or who are seeking to become dedicated to, Jesus Christ in their lives. We are called to live by a different ethic, by a different morality than do people who do not name the name of Christ. We are called to be those who model Jesus' servant leadership, his servant ministry to others. And so as a church, we are called to go out into the world to seek to serve those who are less fortunate than ourselves, to serve others who have needs of one kind or another, to serve in ways that benefit the community. We're all called to be servants of one another and to serve in ways that will truly make a difference, not only for the kingdom of God, but also in the world in which we live. The church is also called to work and live in harmony with one another. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in your handout. Paul says, in the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. I'm grateful that since 2008, I haven't really noticed any major divisions in our church. I haven't really noticed any major squabbles or anything like that. And that's a tribute to all of you who really are working together to seek to be one church as we move forward to do God's work. Certainly, we don't always agree on everything, but we seek to do so. We seek to disagree in love, and we seek to remind ourselves that we are all part of the church family. We're all part of one body. And so it's important for us to continually encourage one another and try as best we can to understand each other as we have our differing views and opinions. And certainly as we do so, we are beginning to model that idea that Paul talks about of not really causing divisions in the church. People out in the world kind of think that the church is divided about every little thing. We have an opportunity to show that we're not divided. We also have an opportunity to show that we're not divided from our fellow brothers and sisters in other denominations. We've been working with other denominations in various ways through Community Link and through our ministerial alliance. I pray with a couple of pastors on Wednesday, every Wednesday morning, and from different denominations. And there are other things that we do throughout the year that we join with other denominations. We've been involved in the Revive Texas program with other denominations in order to try to show that we're not divided from each other. We may worship in different ways. We may have differing views about peripheral things, but we all are united in our faith in Jesus Christ. And we seek to try to model that in the way that we relate not only amongst ourselves, but also amongst our fellow Christians in other denominations as well. The church is also a body with each person a part, an important part of that healthy functioning church. So we all are a part of the body of Christ. Each one of us as Christians has a ministry to which God has called us. That ministry may be within the church. It may be outside of the church. It may be a ministry that is well known to others. It may be a ministry that nobody knows about. But ministry, God calls each one of us to some sort of ministry. I often come across people that are not able to come to church any longer. And I come to visit them, and many of them share, I just don't feel useful anymore. I don't feel like I can do anything for the Lord. I don't really feel like that I can serve in any way. And I have to remind them that one of the most important ministries that they can participate in is the ministry of prayer. Prayer for our church, prayer for the nation, prayer for the various needs represented in our church body. And so people can really, if they can't do anything else, they can certainly pray. But each one of us has an opportunity to participate in the various ministries of the church, or maybe to develop even new ministries outside of the church. And as we do so, we'll begin to create an even healthier body of Christ here at St. Anne's. Paul writes these words in 1 Corinthians 12. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The answer, obviously, to those questions are no, not everybody does those things. However, God has given gifts to the church. He said, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And so many of you have already discovered your gifts, and you're using those gifts for the kingdom of God. There may be some of you who have not yet discovered your gift, but God has given each one of us as Christians gifts, or a gift or gifts to use for the building up of his church, for the building up of his body, for the benefit of others outside of the body of Christ. Whatever the case may be, each one of us has a gift that can be used for God's glory and for God's kingdom. The church is also called to be a giving group of Christians. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. So Paul viewed giving as not only a benefit for the church, but also as a way of crediting rewards to our accounts as Christians. So as we give to the Lord, we are racking up, if you will, rewards in heaven. Now, we don't give in order to get rewards. We don't give in order to be blessed. But those are the side benefits of our giving. And as we give to the Lord, not only through the church, but also as we give to the Lord in helping others in the community or reaching out to the poor, the needy, whatever the case may be, we have an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others and to make a difference in the lives of those who do not yet know the Lord. By having a church to which people can come, by having Christians that will go out and talk to others about the Lord, we have an opportunity to perhaps bring others into His kingdom. And so as we do so by not only giving of our resources, our finances, but we do so by giving of our time and our talents as well. And so the church really is dedicated to be a giving place where we seek to give to others. We also can reach out and help others through our giving. For example, recently many of you have heard about St. Timothy's Church, who was broken into four times and many of their church items were stolen. Well, our church has given to them a very generous gift to help them in their recovery efforts to restore some of the items that have been lost. We've helped other churches in the past as well. And so we can reach out not only through our individual efforts, but we can help others through a group efforts as a church as well. Now, obviously, most of you know about our many outreach efforts that we use through the giving of our groceries and other food items, clothing items to the various helping organizations around in the area. And so that just is a reflection of the giving spirit of this church. For the number of people that we have, our giving is greatly above most other churches of our size in this diocese. And so we're to be commended for that. And yet we recognize that there's still so much to be done. And so we understand that as we give to the Lord through the church or through other ways, we're really not only setting up for us treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break in and steal, but we're also being a blessing to those around us. Another thing that the church is the church is dedicated to read and study the Word of God written, the Bible. Colossians 4:16 says, "After this letter has been read to you, see to it that it is also read in the church of Laodiceans, that you in turn read their letter, the letter from Laodicea." And so even back then, they were reading scriptures in church. They were reading scriptures to constantly familiarize themselves with what Jesus taught, with what the apostles taught, so that the Christians would understand what was required of them. They would understand what they needed to do. They would understand how to draw closer to Christ. As the church learns and studies scriptures, we have a better understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. John 5, verse 39, it's not in your handout there, but Jesus said, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. And yet you refuse to come to me to have life." So the scriptures draw us to Christ so that we can have life through Jesus Christ. And so as we as Christians dedicate ourselves to the study of scripture, then our lives will be greatly enriched as we learn more and more what it means to follow Jesus Christ. The church is also dedicated to healing. And our mission statement says, "St. Anne's is a Bible-based church dedicated to healing, discipling, and serving through Jesus Christ." If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if He healed in the past, there's nothing to say that He can't heal in the present and in the future. Certainly we have opportunities for people to receive prayer for healing. James chapter 5 says this, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." We have opportunities for people to receive prayer on Sunday mornings after our services. We also have opportunities for people to receive prayer from me if they're going into the hospital or if they're sick in some way. Our prayer ministers are more than willing to go out and pray for someone, wherever you might be, to pray for you for healing and to ask God's help in your particular situation. So a church really is a church that's dedicated to healing. Not only healing physical needs, but also to healing spiritual needs and emotional needs. And as we get healthier in those areas, then the church as a whole becomes healthier. And as the church becomes healthier, it begins to attract others who are in situations in which they need healing themselves. The church is also meant to gather together regularly for prayer, worship, fellowship, study, service, and mutual support. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, verse 19. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure waters." Verse 23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We have an opportunity as Christians to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe encourage those who are kind of lax in their church attendance to come back and join us. Sometimes I'm not always aware of people that are not at church for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, but maybe you are. And so maybe you can call that person and contact them and say, "We missed you at church and we'd love to see you again soon. Is there anything I can do for you?" We have an opportunity to encourage one another to greater deeds of love by encouraging people to get involved in the various arms of outreach that we have in our church, or to get involved in the various ministries of our church. We have an opportunity to spur one another on to love and good deeds. We have an opportunity to really indicate our commitment to our brothers and sisters by being together regularly for worship. There's something that is special. There's a dynamic that happens as more and more Christians gather together. And you notice it. You notice it when we gather together on Sundays and there's not very many in church. But there's a lot more energy. There's a lot more of a spirit in the church when we have more that are here to worship. And so worshiping together, you may not think your presence in the church is important, but in fact, it's very important as we gather together as the body of Christ to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have an opportunity to not only show our commitment to our Lord by coming to worship regularly, but also showing our commitment to one another as we gather together for worship. D.L. Moody said this one time, "Church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man." So we have an opportunity to spur one another on to love and good deeds and not to forsake the gathering together of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. And finally, the church can only succeed to the degree that Christians within the church pray. Jesus talked so much about prayer. He modeled prayer all the time. And he encouraged his disciples to do the same. His disciples wrote much about prayer throughout the epistles that we read. So prayer was a vital part of the early church. And yet we kind of look at it as almost an afterthought or something to do only when we get in a desperate situation. But prayer is such a vital part of the church that if all of us aren't committed to prayer, then the church is not going to be as vibrant and healthy as it could be. Certainly, listen to how the prayer book describes the duties of all Christians. It says this, "The duty of all Christians is to follow Christ, to come together week by week for corporate worship, to work, pray, and give for the spread of the kingdom of God." So as we enter into our 70th year as St. Anne's Church, would you dedicate yourself to Jesus? Would you dedicate yourself to his word, to prayer, to being with your fellow Christians more often, to serving the Lord for the expansion of His kingdom, to the healing and building up of His body, and to becoming more and more a church people hear about and want to attend. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, we pray for our parish family. Strengthen the faithful, arouse those who have fallen away from this church, and restore the penitent. Grant us all things necessary for our common life, and bring us all to be of one heart and mind within your holy church, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.